They told them this was not for everyone. You did not stumble into it. You were chosen. That word did the work. It lowered defenses. It replaced caution with pride. Screens with charts, dashboards, promises of artificial intelligence doing the hard thinking. Trades running while you slept. Risk managed by code. Money growing quietly. Students paid to learn crypto. Then they were invited deeper. A private fund. A hedge fund. Exclusive. Limited. Not advertised. Not registered. They were told the numbers were real. They were shown returns. They were told withdrawals were coming. Then the accounts stopped updating. Messages slowed, excuses piled up, market volatility, technical delays, one more week, one more cycle. The money did not come back. There was no fund, no artificial intelligence trading on their behalf, no independent custodian holding assets. $1.2 million was gone. By the time regulators stepped in, the pitch had already done its damage. Trust was spent, savings were drained. And the promise that made it all possible still echoed in the background. You were chosen. Chapter 1. The pitch that promised access. American Bitcoin Academy presented itself as education first. The website language was clean and confident. Crypto explained step by step. Trading basics. Market cycles. Risk management. Nothing that looked illegal. Nothing that raised immediate alarms. For many students, this was their first structured exposure to digital assets. They were not seasoned traders. They were not hedge fund veterans. They were people looking for an edge in a market that felt locked behind jargon and speed. The enrollment funnel followed a familiar pattern. Introductory videos, testimonials, claims of practical instruction rather than hype. The academy did not lead with overnight riches. It led with discipline. Learn first. Trade smarter. Avoid common mistakes. That positioning mattered. It framed the organization as responsible in a space known for chaos. Students paid tuition. They logged into dashboards. They attended online sessions. They joined private groups. The tone was controlled and professional. Questions were answered quickly. Support staff responded. The academy behaved like a legitimate operation because at this stage it needed to. Then the language began to shift. Advanced students were told there was more available. Not everyone would qualify. Not everyone would be invited. This was not a mass product. This was access. The pitch leaned on scarcity without sounding desperate. Phrases like selected participants and private opportunity replaced general marketing copy. And what followed was not presented as a replacement for education. It was positioned as an extension of it. In private calls and closed group messages, students were introduced to an exclusive investment vehicle, a hedge fund, powered by artificial intelligence, built to trade crypto markets faster and more accurately than any individual ever could. The system, they were told, removed emotion. It executed based on data. It adapted. It learned. The pitch avoided extreme promises, no guaranteed profits, no reckless multipliers. Instead, it emphasized consistency, controlled growth, downside protection. This was deliberate. It made the offer sound mature, professional, safer than self-trading. The exclusivity did the rest. Students were told this fund was not advertised publicly. It was not open to everyone. It was available only to those inside the academy. People who understood the risks, people who had shown commitment. Being invited felt like validation. It felt earned. That feeling mattered more than the charts. When participants asked where the fund was based, answers stayed vague but confident. When asked who managed it, the response centered on systems, not people. When asked about regulation, they were told the structure was private and strategic, optimized for speed. Traditional oversight, they were warned, slowed innovation. The explanation worked because it matched what many already believed about crypto. That rules lag technology. That regulation kills opportunity. That those who wait for permission arrive late. Money began to move. Participants were instructed on how to transfer funds. Crypto wallets, stablecoins, simple steps. The process felt normal to anyone already inside the space. There was no sudden demand for secrecy, no insistence on urgency. Transfers happened over days and weeks, not hours. Accounts appeared. Dashboards showed balances, returns updated periodically, small gains at first, then steady increases, nothing explosive, just enough to confirm belief. Withdrawals, students were told, were subject to cycles, liquidity windows. That was standard language in alternative investments. It sounded reasonable. Most accepted it without protest. Then small issues began to surface. One student requested a partial withdrawal and was told to wait until the next cycle. Another noticed a delay in reporting and was reassured it was a technical issue. Support remained responsive, calm, polite. Explanations arrived quickly enough to prevent panic. The academy continued operating. Courses ran, new students enrolled. The hedge fund remained framed as an internal opportunity, not the core business. That separation was critical. It allowed concerns to feel isolated rather than systemic. But behind the scenes, money was moving beyond student control. There was no independent custodian holding assets, no third-party verification of trades, no registration with financial authorities. Those facts were not disclosed up front. They were not asked about loudly enough either. The illusion of professionalism had already done its work. The exclusivity became a shield. Participants hesitated to question something they believed they were lucky to access. Doubt felt like ingratitude. Suspicion felt like self-sabotage. They had been chosen. That identity discouraged scrutiny. As weeks passed, communication shifted subtly. Responses took longer. Updates became less detailed. Market conditions were cited more often. Volatility, network congestion, security reviews, each explanation fit within the known risks of crypto trading. By the time students compared notes, patterns emerged. Balances stopped updating. Withdrawal requests stalled. Group chats filled with cautious questions. No one wanted to be the first to say the word fraud. Most hoped the issue was temporary. That patience would be rewarded. It was not. Money had crossed a line. Once transferred into the structure presented as the hedge fund, it could not be independently tracked. Participants did not hold keys. They relied entirely on representations made by the operators. That reliance marked the point of no return. The academy did not collapse immediately. It lingered. Long enough to keep belief alive. Long enough to prevent a unified response. Long enough for the illusion to survive past the moment it should have died. What students did not know at this stage was that the hedge fund they believed existed had no legal footprint, no operational reality, no verified trading activity. That truth would come later. For now, all they knew was that access had turned into silence, and silence in finance is rarely accidental. Chapter 2, The Fund That Never Existed. The first thing to break was the timeline. Students were told trading cycles ran in fixed windows. Returns would post after each cycle closed. Withdrawals would open after liquidity events. At first, the schedule slipped by hours, then days. Eventually, dates stopped appearing at all. When questions came in, the answers changed tone. Not hostile, not panic, just thinner. Messages that once explained now reassured. Market conditions were unstable. Volatility was extreme. The system was protecting capital. Waiting was framed as wisdom. The problem was not delay. Delay is common in speculative markets. The problem was that no one could point to a real mechanism behind the delay. The hedge fund had been described as artificial intelligence driven. Algorithms trained on market data, automated execution, risk controls that reacted faster than humans. But when students asked basic follow-up questions, the explanations unraveled. What exchanges did the system trade on? No clear answer. Who built the model? The response shifted between internal developers and proprietary technology. Where were assets held between trades? That detail was never directly addressed. At first, these gaps felt technical. Most participants were not engineers. They accepted complexity as a barrier. They assumed answers existed somewhere deeper in the system. They did not. Behind the dashboards and confident language, there was no verified trading infrastructure, no brokerage relationship, no custodial accounts segregating investor funds. Money was pooled into wallets controlled entirely by the operators. The artificial intelligence was a story, not a system. Records later showed no consistent trading activity matching the reported returns. There were no logs, no transaction histories aligning with the performance updates shown to students. The numbers on the dashboards were generated internally, untethered from market reality. As this became harder to hide, communication tightened. Support channels slowed. Group discussions were discouraged. Participants were told not to speculate publicly, that doing so could harm the fund. Protecting the operation became a shared responsibility. Isolation set in. Each student believed they might be the only one having trouble. Private doubts stayed private. That fragmentation bought time. When withdrawals were requested again, new conditions appeared. Minimum balances, lockup extensions, compliance reviews. None of these had been disclosed earlier. They were introduced as safeguards, necessary steps to protect everyone involved. In reality, they functioned as barriers. Money flowed in, none flowed out. Internally, contradictions multiplied, timelines conflicted, statements about liquidity changed, technical explanations clashed with one another. When pressed, operators leaned on authority rather than detail. Trust the process, the system works. This is how sophisticated funds operate. Some participants accepted it, others began documenting. Wallet addresses were traced. Funds were followed as far as public blockchains allowed. What emerged did not resemble hedge fund activity. Transfers were irregular. Amounts did not match reported balances. Funds moved into accounts with no apparent connection to trading platforms. The illusion cracked. As pressure increased, messaging shifted again. The hedge fund became less visible in communications. Updates focused back on education. Courses continued. Marketing resumed. New students were brought in, unaware of what was happening behind the curtain. For those already invested, the silence grew heavier. Emails went unanswered for days, scheduled calls were postponed, group leaders disappeared. When contact resumed, explanations reset as if prior conversations had not happened. At this stage, the losses were no longer theoretical. Students knew they could not access their money. They did not yet know it was gone. The structure of the operation mattered. Because the hedge fund was never registered, never formalized, there was no clear paper trail inside traditional financial systems. No account statements issued by third parties, no audit records. Everything lived inside platforms controlled by the same people who had taken the money. That design was not accidental. By avoiding formal registration, the operators avoided immediate oversight. By framing the fund as private and exclusive, they discouraged scrutiny. By embedding it inside an educational brand, they borrowed legitimacy without assuming accountability. The artificial intelligence narrative served a final purpose. It explained opacity. If a machine was doing the trading, then human explanations were unnecessary. If the system was proprietary, then transparency was a risk. That logic kept questions at bay longer than any technical answer could have. But markets do not care about narratives. As weeks turned into months, total losses grew. Individual balances differed, but the pattern was the same. Funds transferred in, returns reported, withdrawals denied, silence. Some students attempted chargebacks where possible. Others contacted attorneys. A few reached out to authorities. Each step happened separately, without coordination. The fragmentation continued to protect the operators. Eventually, the numbers crossed a threshold that could not be ignored. The combined losses reached into seven figures. At that scale, the issue was no longer a private dispute between students and an academy. It became a matter of public interest. What no one inside the program fully understood yet was how little infrastructure existed behind the scenes. There was no fund to unwind, no portfolio to liquidate, no assets waiting to be returned once conditions improved. The money had been absorbed. As complaints accumulated and records were examined, a clear picture emerged. The hedge fund was never operational. It had no legal existence, no trading system, no artificial intelligence engine managing capital. It was a pitch layered on top of trust. By the time external scrutiny intensified, the damage was already done. The structure that made the scheme believable also made it difficult to reverse. There was nothing to shut down except a story that had already collapsed under its own weight. The question was no longer whether students would get their money back. It was who would step in and how far the consequences would reach once the paper trail caught up to the pitch. Chapter 3, Paper Trails and Consequences. The shift from suspicion to certainty began quietly. Complaints reached regulators in fragments, one at a time. Different students, different amounts. The same story. An educational platform. A private crypto fund. Withdrawals blocked. Explanations that never resolved. At first, the reports look like disputes, the kind that surface in volatile markets where losses are common and expectations are often unrealistic. Then, the documents were compared. What stood out was not just the losses, it was the structure, or rather, the absence of one. There were no registration filings, no disclosures, no evidence that a hedge fund existed in any recognized legal form, no proof that investor funds were ever placed into a managed investment vehicle. That absence mattered. Once enough complaints aligned, the case moved from review to action. Investigators began tracing money, communications, and representations. Wallet addresses were examined. Marketing materials were preserved. Internal messages were pulled into timelines. What emerged was not a failed investment. It was a misrepresentation from the start. The entity presented as a hedge fund had no operational reality. There were no employees assigned to fund management, no third-party administrators, no compliance structure, no custody arrangements, no trading records consistent with the reported activity shown to students. The artificial intelligence system at the center of the pitch did not exist as described. There was no evidence of a deployed trading model executing strategies on behalf of investors. The language around machine learning and automation was branding, not engineering. That distinction defined the case. At this stage, allegations hardened into findings. The claim was no longer that investors lost money in a risky product. It was that money was solicited under false pretenses, that access was fabricated, that performance data was generated internally without any link to real market activity. The losses were totaled. $1.2 million. Verified, documented, not estimated, not projected. That figure reflected funds transferred by students who believed they were investing in an exclusive hedge fund connected to American Bitcoin Academy. The money did not pass through any regulated investment structure. It moved directly under the control of the operators. That alone placed the activity squarely under enforcement authority. When the U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission formalized its action, the language was direct. There was no ambiguity about the core finding. The hedge fund never existed. The representations made to students were false. The solicitation of funds met the legal definition of fraud. Crucially, the enforcement action separated allegation from proof. Claims tied to documents, statements matched against records, timelines aligned. Where intent could be inferred, it was supported by patterns, not speculation. The education platform itself was not treated as a neutral bystander. The fund pitch was not an external add-on. It was integrated into the academy's ecosystem, marketed through its channels, presented as an internal opportunity available because of enrollment. That integration mattered because it established trust as a tool. Students did not discover the hedge fund through cold outreach. They encountered it after paying for education, after weeks inside private groups, after building rapport. The academy environment lowered skepticism. It created familiarity. It framed the operators as mentors rather than promoters. The consequences extended beyond money. For many students, the losses represented savings, emergency funds, retirement contributions. Money set aside with the belief that discipline and education would reduce risk. The betrayal cut deeper because it violated the premise that learning protected you. After the enforcement action, civil penalties and prohibitions followed. The goal was not just punishment, it was prevention. To stop the same individuals from repeating the scheme under a new name, a new platform, a new story. Recovery was limited. Because the funds were not held in segregated accounts, because they were not invested in recoverable assets, there was little left to reclaim. The absence of structure that enabled the fraud also limited restitution. That reality was not softened for victims. It was stated plainly. Some money was gone. The case closed on paper, but its impact lingered. Students compared notes publicly for the first time. Stories surfaced. Patterns became visible. What once felt like isolated misfortune became a shared experience of deception. The broader lesson was uncomfortable. Crypto did not create the fraud. The scheme relied on familiar tactics: exclusivity, authority, complexity, education as a trust anchor, artificial intelligence as a credibility shortcut. These tools predated digital assets. Crypto simply provided a faster, less regulated environment to deploy them. Education branding played a critical role. By presenting the investment as an advanced step for informed participants, the operators flipped a warning sign into a selling point. The very act of learning became proof of suitability. That inversion is hard to spot in real time. By the time skepticism feels justified, money has already moved. By the time silence feels dangerous, structures are already empty. Fraud rarely announces itself. It borrows legitimacy until there is nothing left to borrow. For regulators, the case reinforced a growing concern. Education platforms positioned near financial products can blur lines deliberately. Students are not treated as customers, they are treated as insiders. That framing reduces resistance and delays reporting. For victims, the aftermath was uneven. Some absorbed the loss and moved on quietly. Others pursued civil action. Others disengaged entirely from crypto. Trust, once broken, did not return easily. The phrase that echoed back from early marketing took on a different meaning in hindsight. You were chosen, not because of skill, not because of insight, but because trust had already been established, because access had been manufactured, because belief was cheaper than verification. The scheme did not collapse under market pressure. It collapsed under documentation. And by the time the paper trail caught up, the promise that drew everyone in had already done what it was designed to do. Take the money